Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jason. And you're listening to, what was this called again?
Far From Home, a podcast about two Asian Canadians who move pretty far from home.
Bam.
And we're back.
We are back.
We're back from the dead.
That could only mean one thing. Something's happening.
Something terrible has happened to one of us.
Yeah. Assemble.
Oh my gosh, the next one's going to be like our eulogy. Okay, so judging by the title of this episode, I think it's going to be clearly about you and not me.
Well, mostly. We can make it about both of us, but yeah, yeah. You could put the focus on me.
Yeah, put the spotlight on you. You know, that's what that's what gets you going. All right.
That's why I'm here.
Jason, what's happening? What's happening to you?
So, it seems like, as of right now, in the month of October 2023, that the perhaps inevitable event that we knew had to come someday might finally be coming true. And that is, it's looking like I will be moving back to Canada from Japan.
Oh, gross.
Ew. Whoa.
Going back to your roots, but
indeed. Indeed. It looks like it. Going back home.
So out of every time you say, yeah, I think I'm going to do X, and then it doesn't actually happen. How sure is this change?
I'm going to say it's about like 80-90% right now, unless something dramatic happens in the next week or two that I will. What I have to do basically to kick this off is to put in the notice to the apartment, and I have to give 2 months of notice. And so if I want to leave by end of year, which was sort of the plan I was going for, I had to do it soon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and if I leave end of the year, end of 2023, that will mark, I guess, almost 6 years
of
living in Japan. Holy.
What a life.
Holy.
6 years. Jason, you had a good run.
Holy, 6 years.
Time to hang up the jacket.
How long have you been here?
I hit 4 years last June. So end of year is going to be 4.5 years for me.
Okay. So I think you came about a year after. So I'm actually at like 5.5, and I'll be at, I guess, closer to 6. Yeah. 5 years, yeah. 9 months, end of year.
It's beginning 2018, around there.
Yep. I'll still never forget, like, coming as a early 20s. Oh my God. Early 20s year old, signing up to go to some language school and just deciding to like YOLO my life savings at the time away.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I had worked up for like almost a year and saved all that money and decided to just spend it all on this and school.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing where that would go, and finishing the school after a year, looking for a job, managing to find a job, and then transferring or changing companies, and still being here.
And COVID.
And that was COVID.
And this podcast.
Everything sort of going back and forth a couple times, getting stuck here for a few years.
Yeah.
What an adventure. Oh my God.
Your kids will talk about the time when Jason moved to Japan.
Remember those 6 years? Actually, in my family, there's quite a few people, I mean, who did this before I was born, but like my uncles and people like that who lived in Japan for, I don't know, 6 years, but like a pretty long period of time when they were young doing something similar, usually like teaching English or something. So
runs in the family?
I mean, everyone's Japanese, so people come back.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Huh.
So maybe I'll be joining them, and that will be it. It's part of history.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny because you said early 20s, because I was pretty similar early 20s, right? I mean, you're about two years
23.
Older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must have been 20.
I was 23 as well, because end of this year.
My birthday's in September. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we moved to Asia around the same age, and then yeah, hearing other people talk about like, yeah, oh my gosh, you moved to Singapore when you were 23. And then like looking back, I'm like, yeah, I'm 27 this year. It's kind of a crazy change to do back when you were so young.
To be fair, 23 to move for work in Singapore is a pretty ballsy move, I feel.
Yeah, because I don't have, because like you have some connection to Japan, whereas I don't have much connection to Singapore. Is that what you
mean? Yeah, and I was just coming for like a language school. Like, I feel like that's pretty normal per se thing to do, mm-hmm. not really for work. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know how long I'd be here. I feel like not many people go for work at such a young age.
That's true. Like,
people are still graduating at 23 these days.
Yeah. I remember moving to Singapore and then like, I forgot who, but some friend was like, oh yeah, I met people through like LinkedIn and stuff. I check on LinkedIn if there's anybody from my university that moved to Singapore. Dude, they're all like 35 or 40 and like—
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, they moved here because they want a better education, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, not a lot of people to
hang out with,
bond with.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So in that regard, it is really early. And I think, I don't know. I definitely feel like moving to Asia makes you grow so much faster than just living at home where you're from.
Yeah. I mean, moving to any foreign country, and I think like, especially in my circumstances here, like navigating Japanese or like such a foreign country, like every little thing was like an adventure. Like, how do I set up my water utility? Figuring that out. And like, you have to call them and book an appointment and not knowing how to say that. Oh my God.
Give them your business card while bowing with both hands, you know. There's some weird customs there.
Some weird stuff. And having to learn all that, although I didn't really work in Japanese work environments, but seeing it every now and then. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. But no regrets. I remember before I came, I've probably said this to you before, but like I always had this thought my whole life growing up, ever since like I came here as a kid, where I thought, like, if I was on my deathbed in Canada, I'm not really.
God damn it,
why are the topics here?
Why is it you and death every single episode? Okay, you're on your deathbed again.
I was on my deathbed, and someone asked me, do you have any regrets in life? And I had never lived in Japan. It would have for sure been my biggest regret that I never did it. So that's one less regret I can die with.
It's really just
in retrospect. I'm glad I did it.
100%.
And I think I had also shared this slightly unhealthy thought with you.
Okay.
Where I also sort of feel like in some alternative fantasy universe, like I wish I could be 25 and live in Tokyo that year of my life. Like over and over and over again.
Oh God.
I don't know about forever. Like that's a bit crazy, but like, just like looking back around that time, maybe like my second year here, just like looking back and thinking of all the people that I was meeting around that time.
Yeah.
Like all the new experiences we were having, the process of finishing school, looking for work, starting to work in a foreign country. Like everything was new. And like exciting. And a part of me, I know it's sort of unhealthy to live in the past, but just wishes that that could have been life for like the rest of the 4 years since.
Jason, you know, that sounds like the origin story of most bad guys. Like they wanted to like relive their good days and they do everything in their power to go back to that.
Oh God.
I'm just doing this because I want to go back in time. That's totally fair. It's was it during the time after you started working and you weren't a broke college student
I think so. Although like honestly looking back, I feel like I equally almost enjoyed both of those lives, like one being a broke student. I remember there were times where I was like, I don't know if I can afford like this meal or to hang out with my friends God. This night, because literally like I think I already had a job offer, like I knew I was going to start working, But like my actual yen savings was like zero. So it's like, I don't know if I could hang out with my friends this weekend. I have so little money.
Oh yeah. Didn't you go into like debt trying to pay for like deposit when you were changing houses or something?
I think I did, because when you move in Japan, you have to pay like 3 or 4 months of rent, like upfront in deposits and fees. And I had just started working the new job, but I was commuting like, oh my God, almost over an hour, for sure over an hour. Oof. To the office each way.
Wow.
So I wanted to move closer. So I moved out like as soon as I could. And to do that, I had to like ask my parents, can you help me? And then I paid it off in like the first few paychecks I got back. But yeah, I was broke.
Wow.
I was straight ass broke. And
cannot
then
relate. I moved here with a job, with an offer in hand.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, that same year I went from being like broke to like not making like insane money, but making more money than I had ever expected to make here. And like,
yeah.
And that year at work, like I remember I went to Singapore for my onboarding.
Oh.
I think you moved there like 2 or 3 months after that.
Yeah.
You weren't there yet. I went to the US for like some work meeting conference. I went to Australia for work. And just like thinking of how much, I don't know, excitement or like how much just happened that 1 year is just crazy looking back and comparing it, especially like 2020 or like 2021.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting a feel of superiority from you, Jason. Not everybody gets to travel with their work.
Oh, don't worry. Now I'm locked in my room 24/7. So
perfect.
Don't feel jealous.
Okay.
Making up for it. Yeah. No, just looking back. Plus, like, I don't even think today after COVID, like, companies don't send people around the world like that anymore. And
yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing of the past.
My company is a lot less lenient on actually sending and making a work trip to the US. Mm-hmm. I think before, like, oh, you need to work on this project and you need to talk to this like one guy for a few hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll fly you over and you can stay like 3-4 days.
Yeah, you raise your hand, go.
Yeah.
Now and it's then, like,
yeah. Oh. Like the tech company I'm at, it has a stereotypical end of year party where they try to fly everybody into one city in the US, and then like, oh yeah, you know, it's the bond, but it's really like a free trip to the US. It's like free accommodation. It was great, but I have never experienced it because I joined during COVID and they pretty much got rid of the entire program. Yeah.
Yeah. And man, a lot of companies have.
Like, it's so like it sucks because before, no matter where you worked, like locale wise, they would fly you to the San Francisco.
Yeah.
But now, like, they don't even fly remote Australia people into Sydney. They're just like, yeah, figure it out yourselves, you know?
What?
Like, join the group Zoom, but don't, you can't expense a free trip. They say,
so they do it on Zoom.
Yeah, they say that if you do travel to the main head office that your country has, I mean, yeah, just let them know they can accommodate you, but they're not going to let you expense accommodation, flights, or anything. So,
oh, well, then no one's going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
okay.
It's a different world.
I mean, I definitely feel the same way where, yeah, Asia has been... Actually, I'm on the opposite end. The past 2 years, like after COVID, have been the most fun. I feel like,
yeah, right?
Yeah, because there were only 6 months pre-COVID before, like when I was in Singapore. And then afterwards, it was locked down for like a year and a half plus.
Yeah.
And then only afterwards was the office open. You know, I started meeting more coworkers. And then the past like half year, my wife moved to Singapore. So that's been a huge change as well. But yeah, no regrets.
I feel like my curve, oh, curve is the right word, like life enjoyment curve was like very high at the beginning, then very low during COVID. And now it's like sort of in the middle.
Oh, I see.
And yours was like in the middle, low and now high.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
So what's the main motivation for this change of scenery? Why are you going back? Why are you leaving?
The reasons we call them. Yeah.
The reasons.
So I sort of would group them into like three different categories. And actually, like, I would say that my life up until maybe this year in May, June, I was pretty set on staying in Japan and figuring things out, like, for my future and whatnot. So I guess, like, the first thing is, like, I had mentioned the work thing. So I had lost the job in Japan the beginning of the year and was re-signed to work in Canada.
Yeah.
So that... They gave me, or they told me, you have 2 months to move to Canada. So that gave me until like July, I want to say, to actually move. Maybe June, June-ish, halfway through the year. And so they did actually fly me back. And that's why I was back in Canada for a few months.
Nice.
But then I sort of snuck back here.
Yeah.
But I had always sort of lived under this assumption that I could figure out the taxes on my own, like to make sure that I, one, for one thing, like I'm actually double paying a bit of taxes.
Oof.
So in Japan, whether you're employed or not, you have to pay your health insurance and your pension. And the health insurance, at least, is based off your last year's income.
Big oof.
So I don't know if this is like a humble brag or something. I actually don't think the max is that high.
Yeah.
But I like hit the max you can pay on the health insurance.
Dang.
So out of pocket every month, I'm paying like over $1,000 just in like these two things.
Dang.
So I'm paying extra to live here, which is not good, but wouldn't be like the deciding factor.
Yeah.
But I thought I could also figure out the taxes to, one, pay them to Japan instead of Canada, and two, to get a refund actually on these amounts that I'm paying.
Yeah.
And I did like more serious research into it when I was back in Canada, and it turns out that sort of like, nah, you can't really do that.
Yeah, so, it sounds pretty sus.
Yeah, so that's sort of, I hope this doesn't get used against me in like a court case someday.
Okay, we'll take this down so easily, so fast.
I'm just like in a courtroom and they like play this podcast. And like, you said here at 20 minutes.
It was like, it's not like you were trying to like break any rules. It's more like omission of knowledge, right?
I'm paying taxes, but sort of to the wrong country for a portion. I'm double paying a portion.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another thing is like anyone who's seen or has come to Japan recently knows the yen has gone down like 30-40% in the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's been great. Last time I came, it's like 1-to-1 for Canadian dollars and Singaporean dollars.
Yeah. It's worse now. It's like,
oh my gosh, it's like 103 or something. 110.
No, like 110. Yeah.
It's holy
really,
crap.
Really
dude,
low.
That's like, it's like $1.60 160 yen for a USD then.
It's like 150. Yeah.
Wow. That's insane.
So that sort of, I don't know, makes it a bit harder to justify like changing jobs within the country and finding a new job, because I'd be like locked into what I would sort of call like a lower salary. And then what else with the job? Yeah, I guess like having a job in Canada already just makes it like an easy decision to, or like it eliminates the biggest issue of moving countries.
Yeah,
I would say just finding a job.
Yeah.
So maybe it's sort of like a sign to go. The other thing is when I was back in Canada in May and June, not to go too much into it in the pod, but like I basically found out about some like family health scare.
Yeah.
And I was like really worried around June, July. As of right now, things have sort of stabilized. It's not like as dire or seemingly dire as it was before. But it sort of is pushing me to go back and spend time with family, because I guess in a sense, like I don't know how much more time I'll have with like my dad in this case.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know. It doesn't rule out ever not coming back to Japan in the future. But if I could even spend a year there, 2 years there, and make that time matter.
Yeah.
I think that would mean a lot in the long term.
Yeah.
My life. And the last thing is just, I guess, I feel like I really should get out there and meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of honestly, someone could call me out on this and I'd be like pretty understanding.
All right.
It's sort of like an excuse, because like I can meet new people in Japan, obviously. That's what I was doing every week in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in a way, like, I just feel almost like I have no momentum in a sense. And
yeah,
like I think like during COVID, a lot of people sort of, you know, everyone sort of buckled down and found their tribe of people.
Oh, okay.
And like, I don't want to say created, but like found this really tight group of friends. Like everyone really got close because that's all we had. Like yeah. No one could go home, see their family. No one was coming to the country. Mm-hmm. People were leaving actually Japan from our friend group.
Yeah.
And so the friends who stayed, like everyone just became like a very tight knit friend group. And for better or worse, it's like giving me people to hang out with every week. And there's no real, not, like, I don't want to make this sound like I don't like my friends here. Like I love all my right, friends here.
Just say it.
But say there's it no real like push to get me out there and go to new things and meet new people and expand social circles. Like I'm just too content in a sense.
Yeah. Is the social circle problem more for like dating purposes, or is it actually just in terms of like you want to expand your circle of friends in general?
Both, but I would say that obviously I think it would lead towards dating in that sense.
Yeah.
Because I would say 2020 relationship ended, 2021, I think my year was about the same as everyone, locked nice. Indoors. 2022 started to get out, meet people again, nothing really came out of it. 2023, I was like panicking about the job for the first half of the year.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I actually remember when I was back in Canada in May and June, which is a pretty nice time to be there, actually. Like the weather's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's the summer is not like Japan or Singapore. It's very mild.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
But I sort of thought to myself, like I came up with this plan with a friend there. And I told myself, okay, I think I'm going to go back to Japan July. Do my best to like meet someone.
Yeah.
See how that goes. If nothing pans out towards the end of the year, I'll move back. And how did that go?
Jason has dried up the dating pool in Japan. He's sucked the life out of it, if you will. There's no one left here. Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, this sort of goes back to my unhealthy thought. It's like, it'd be amazing to be here in my mid-20s and not have to worry about any of this.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't back then as much. And have this life of fun forever, but like I'm almost 30 now, and
oh God,
give sorry, listeners, chills. Over 30.
Sorry, yikes.
I'm the youngest of my friends here, so anyone listening is gonna hit their guts. But
yeah,
but I feel like you know your 20s are sort of for having fun and exploring and. Not that there's some arbitrary thing that changes when you turn 30, but like as you get older, I feel more pressure to get more serious about it. And I don't know, I sort of feel like I have a better shot at it in Canada.
Oh, it's almost like a sense of you need to settle down soon.
Yeah, not that like I want to settle down and have kids necessarily. Like,
yeah,
not that that's some immediate goal, but like if you want to have those things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably be thinking about them around 30 for sure, if not earlier. So
yeah,
getting serious and
valid. Though I think in general it's becoming more and more normal to be single for longer and just get into more serious relationships later in life. I mean, you don't have that biological clock purely because
that is true.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's becoming more normal.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess like lastly, I'll say that like I love Tokyo for sure. Hands down, favorite city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have all my friends and family and this job and everything in Canada and just move it over here.
Yeah,
I would do it in like a heartbeat.
But yeah,
that's not the reality of things. And I guess just like going back to where life has gone in the past 2-3 years, like there've been many days, weekdays, weekends, even where like I just walk around the city and like, it's really nice to walk around. Actually, I don't think I would just walk around Toronto aimlessly,
you'll get shot, like, or stabbed.
You would not get shot in Toronto.
Depends where you're walking downtown Toronto.
If you're in a bad area, yeah, you could be put yourself in danger. But yeah, like not having to worry about that, I guess. But sometimes I'm also just like bored. I'm just like, oh, like I've been everywhere and I've seen everything, and oh, I'm walking down this street like I've done 100 other times. And I think like moving to a new city at this age and whatnot would also open up the opportunity for like a lot of new experiences and to do things I've never done before.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Canada's
it's not buying it.
Yeah, I am not sold on this story. You know what you should do? You should move to Singapore. I mean, like, minus the family thing, definitely. But okay, your issue, not issue, but like your situation with the dating pool. I have this like weird thought. I've never told you this. Okay, so you're trying to date in Japan, right? And you have to find a girl that has somewhat of an expat background. Okay, she has to like be able to speak English, because that'd be a lot more enjoyable, and that tends to mean they grew up or lived abroad. You're gonna go back to Canada and be like, have you lived in Japan? No.
The list. Alex, my list would be like 5 people long if that was a requirement.
Well, clearly it was hard to find someone that, you know, fit your profile in Japan, right?
I suppose. I think in general for foreigners in Japan, dating can be hard. Yeah. Of course not for everyone, but I think in general, like, it's a shared sentiment amongst foreigners because your pool is so small. And yeah, I don't know.
True. So do you think you would have had this thought of moving back to Canada or leaving Japan, even if you weren't forced with the job and family situation? I guess like in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Living in Tokyo, it's feel like it's been getting too comfortable and stagnant?
So like, yeah, I guess I feel that. Like it's a bit stagnant. You could say stagnant is the right word. Of course, like I can't A/B test a different life where I didn't have this job and family situation.
Mm. Yeah.
I think though, I don't know, it's impossible to say whether like my feeling of stagnation comes from a result of the factors that are pushing me away from here. That's like, oh, because I'm going to go anyways, I might as well not go meet new people. Just like spend time with the friends I know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I honestly would feel like if I was dropped in a new city, right? If you were dropped in somewhere you'd never been, everything was new, you didn't know anyone, you'd be forced to go meet new people.
True.
I don't know whether like the factors pushing me away are just sort of making me feel this way. It's possible to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would certainly like to stay, of course, but my reasons for going back right now are stronger than my reasons to stay as of today.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to, I don't know, throw shade at anyone that...
Ooh. Ooh.
It's
throwing shade.
I think like what was really interesting with living in Singapore is that there's so many expats around.
Yeah.
That everybody had a different story to tell. And that's actually what made the friend group really, really interesting. I mean, we have like a close group of friends in Canada, and I don't think they're going to move out of Canada anytime soon or ever, which is totally fine. But it's almost like a different dynamic, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everyone's from somewhere different. Everyone brings something that like no one else has ever heard of to the table, or like different customs, ways of doing things, saying things.
Yeah.
From where they're from. And yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic to be around a group of people, like expats, like you said, from around the world. And yeah, good and bad to everything.
Mm.
There's also comfort in hanging out with a bunch of people from the same place, and everyone understands each other perfectly and
blending in,
shares the same humor and jokes. And yeah.
I mean, that's true too. Did you ever think about like how long you were going to stay in Asia? I think we probably covered this in our first few episodes, right?
Yeah.
You're at 6 years. I'm at almost 4.5, 5.
5 and a half here. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember like when I moved here, I thought to myself, well, maybe not when I moved here, but maybe like through my mid 20s, 26, 27, mm-hmm. I sort of thought to myself, okay, I'll give it till 30. And if I can't like find someone to settle down and commit to by around 30, like when I turn 30, I'll go back. So,
wow.
This is sort of on that timeline, just a bit early. But yeah, I did have that thought, I remember, even a few years ago.
The foresight is impeccable on your end. My gosh, I didn't know
did
that
you have a timeline? I didn't know that?
I didn't. I guess in my head, it's just this like 5 years is such an easy number to say to everybody. Yeah. Oh, how long? When are you going to come back? You're moving out when you're like 25. Oh, I don't know, 5 years. Right? Five is just like an easy number to say. And I think I gravitated to five as well. But things have changed a lot since my wife moved to Singapore. And ooh. I don't know, we're like really enjoying living in Asia.
Yeah.
Being away from family. But I don't know, it's like, it's almost like living alone in a new country, you know, that has its whole thing. But living together as a couple opens up more and different things as well. Like,
tell me, Alex. I don't know.
Oh God, not to make you feel bad, but what's been really nice is like going on double dates with like other married couples.
Oh yeah, you're married.
Yeah.
Forget that.
It was so funny because like this one coworker was like, it was like 5:30 p.m. I was like, oh, I'm gonna head off and like grab dinner with my wife. Oh, you and your wife are in the CBD area. Do you guys want to get dinner together? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then like I walk out of a meeting room and they're like, oh, Alex, do you want to come and invite your wife out for dinner too? Yeah. Oh. So it's like three married couples and we leave the office and I get a message from some people later. It's like, how's your married dinner going? And I'm like, it's great. It's cool. It's chill. There's nothing wrong with it. But
what? Who is this person messaging you?
No, he's single and a little lonely.
Clearly. Jeez.
But he was just joking.
Okay.
Yeah, I started watching more movies with my wife now. And of course, we talked about watching movies alone in a previous episode and tolerance level for loneliness.
Oh,
but
yeah, the lonely tolerance.
Yeah, the loneliness episode. Yeah.
Loneliness. But oh, my God.
I just feel like the city takes on this new color when you're with your significant other. Mm. And I don't know, there's just so many more things to do. Mm. And I think that like that kind of transitions me into my other topic where I put a down deposit on
house.
No, on my wedding.
I know.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. And so yeah, like I had this thought where I wanted some like the venue for my wedding. I wanted it somewhere in Singapore that is like very clearly Singapore and not like could be anywhere. Because the fact that I have my wedding in Singapore is pretty insane.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that this chapter of my life in Singapore is simply that. It's a chapter. Because I am planning on moving back to Canada as well. Same as you, right?
Oh, interesting.
But it's me trying to like savor my time while I'm here. Mm. Like live out life, do the things I want to do. Next week, we are doing a trip to Malaysia, to Johor Bahru, which is, it's not even that far. It's like the top.
Is that the island?
Yeah, that's like.
Yeah. No, not the island. Like
it's just across the water. Yeah, across the border. But it's like things I need to do while I'm in Singapore. And like not being complacent on, I'll have this forever because I actually don't think I'm going to have this forever. Once I give up my permanent residency, the likelihood of me getting that back is pretty much zero. Right. Mm. And so, yeah, it's going to be so different living in Asia. If I ever do, when I'm in like, I don't know, my 40s or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, though. But like by like the city sort of expands when you're with someone like a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, like, yeah, over the years, I've had partners for here and there, like, gone on dates and stuff. But, like,
yeah,
of course, there's this whole world of, like, the dating spots and dating activities and stuff you can do in Tokyo, even. But you have to have a date.
Yeah.
And so I've been able to do that for pockets, but I could see how if it was like a permanent thing, it would open up a lot of new things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't always be eating crepes with your bros, right?
the fluffy pancakes just don't hit the same when you're alone.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to do like the opposite in a sense.
Oh.
Of like for these last few months at least, of trying to take advantage of this independence.
Oh.
And I've been trying to do this stupid thing where I go to every prefecture, like every province in Japan.
Oh, that's cool though.
And in a sense though, that's only something you could really do. Not that you can't do it if you're in a relationship, but
yeah,
just like the freedom to just say, oh, I'm no plans this weekend. Okay, I'm gonna go on this trip. I'm trying to just like take advantage of that freedom because, you know, if I ever came back here, like you said, in my 30s, 40s, if I had a family or something, it's not like I could do that. It would have to be all planned out months in advance. And
yeah. And that, I don't know, that actually reminds me, someone, coworkers that she met recently was saying how she started her family when she was 32 and she felt like it was still so young for her and that there was like so much more for them to do.
I've heard people say that to me, even like people who are like 40-ish today, and they're like, you should take all the time you want or all that you can.
Yeah, to do screw your you finances, blow it all on, I don't know, blackjack or something.
Yeah, I don't know. They and say so, that at that age, but here I am panicking or worrying about the future.
Yeah, like on the other hand, we're still in our 20s. I mean, barely for you, but. Yeah, it's still like such a small chapter of our lives. It's I think you talked about this before, where the older you get, the shorter the years feel, right? And so this chapter of like a few years in Japan is going to feel so monumental and so big in your adult life. Because I definitely feel that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. No matter what, when I'm 40, when I'm 50,
I wish I was 25 again.
2019.
Yeah.
Living in Tokyo.
Oh my gosh.
But it will be something I carry with me and cherish for sure rest of my life.
You'll forever look fondly back.
Whether I stay in Canada forever or whether I move back here or whether I go to a third country, I will be able to say that like those years of my life, whatever 2018 to 2023, was one of the best decisions I ever made. Yeah.
This reminds me when in May or June, when you were back in Canada, you were trying to sell me the idea that, you know, Alex, Canada doesn't seem so bad anymore. Do you remember that?
Did I say that?
Yeah,
oh, you slap were, me. Just yeah, slap you, me.
I mean,
it's horrible. I'm kidding.
I forget exactly what you said, but I don't know. I think you were in some circumstances. I mean, you still kind of are, and you were like, yeah, you know, Toronto, it's not so bad.
Oh my god.
I mean, have you looked at living alone in Toronto and like renting a car? A car.
Yeah, that's actually like on my list of things I'd be looking forward to doing.
Oh, driving.
I don't know. I don't really care for I don't know. I guess like owning a car and the experience, because I never bought a car in my life.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's true.
I would just drive my family's car when I was there. But just like that experience of owning a car and knowing it, what it's like. And I'm sure the fun would die off after like a week. But
yeah,
but it's like a new life experience that I can look forward to.
Mm.
OK, what else? What else is bad about it? Rent, owning a car.
I think, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to have Eglinton Avenue to drive on for the next, I don't know, 7 years or something. I don't know if you go that far south in Toronto, but my God, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, the whole city is an imperfect, but it's an imperfect mess, but it's also, I don't know, sure shows you reality in many ways, for better or worse.
I also feel like Toronto has gotten a lot more dangerous since we last visited, even a year ago. Actually, sorry, less than a year for you, but for me, a year ago. Like, I've heard so many more cases where things, like bad things, were happening on the subway. And yep. It's just gotten so dangerous, which is insane.
All the time. I mean, yeah. The thing is, like, the crappy thing is, or it's pretty terrible in a sense, where, like, if I go back with this job, at least, and for as long as I have it, I generally don't have to suffer through the worst parts of living in Toronto.
Like, money solves all your problems.
In a sense, like, money is solved. Don't have to worry. Like, rent is ridiculous in Toronto, but still, I don't have to worry. The job pays more than enough for rent, more enough for a car. I don't have to go to an office every day and drive. Like, that solves the stuck in traffic issue.
Oh, there's no return to office for your company?
No, we can work at home, go into like a WeWork if you want, but you want. So in many ways, like, I'm sheltered from a lot of those worst parts of Canada that drove me away in the first place. But I will painfully admit that for the 90% or more of people who are not that privileged, like, life is harder today than it was when we left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm sort of looking forward as well, like, living there as an adult, seeing what it's like. And yeah, if I don't like it, I can always move back. I always figure that too. I can just walk back in.
Yeah, I think this is where we had that conversation about when I leave, it's going to be really hard to come back. But for you, it's completely different.
Yeah.
They will accept you with open arms.
I don't know about open arms, but I've been accepted with open arms.
They were double dipping on your tax, though. They were like, yeah, we'll have some more of that.
for the listeners, I found out when I moved here that I'm actually a citizen, so I can just move back with no job and figure out my life. Whereas for any other situation, you have to have a job first, which makes moving 10 times more complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my permanent residency expires every 5 years if I don't live in Singapore for more than half of that duration. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I'll get back the pension that I've put into the Singapore government, but I mean, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Once
you're gone, you're sort of leave with the understanding that it's a very hard to reverse decision.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And I had that exact same thought where if my entire family was in Singapore and all my friends were in Singapore, yo, in a heartbeat, I'd be like, yeah, do it. Just flick that switch.
Yeah. Any learnings about yourself, Asian culture?
My Chinese has not gotten any better after living in Singapore for 4 years.
Really?
I mean, sure, like, marginally better. I'm marginally better at, like, ordering things from a menu. But in the grand scheme of things, no, not really.
It's still an area of shame.
Yeah. Huge shame. But overall reflections,
I mean, I would say the same for myself.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone from, like, not being able to say anything to, like, have a conversation very easily.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a huge improvement.
Huge.
But for someone who's lived in Japan for like 5-6 years, it's trash. Like, it's like, damn, like, that's all you did in those. Mainly because when I went to the language school, I was getting better very quickly. But then once I started working, I never needed it again. So my skill level became just like going to City Hall and like ordering at a restaurant, like you said.
Fair enough. Other learnings? I don't know. I would recommend moving to another country for basically everyone. I don't know. Because I talked about how my wife and I have been really enjoying living in Singapore, it just goes to show that I don't know when I want to move back. Mm. And I think that's like a testament on how fun it is being in a different country. I mean, I have one really good friend in Germany as well. He signed a 2-year contract working in the HQ out of Germany, and he just re-signed another 2-year contract, I think. So
oh, okay.
He's there for a while now. Just because, yeah, he finds it fun as well. So
yeah,
if anyone's thinking about moving abroad, do it. Yeah. It's super fun. What about you?
I think I learned a lot about like the culture, Japan, like why things are the way they are ultimately. Because it's such like a unique place, right, in the world. Like,
yeah,
there's no place that's really quite similar. Of course, it's East Asian and has similarities in those in some ways to other Asian countries. But I think like during COVID, actually, a lot of the good parts and the bad parts of the culture were like revealed to me.
Oh, okay.
So if we like think back to 2020, right, like world shutting down. And I remember like in North America, there was tons of fighting and arguing controversy of like, do we need to do this lockdown? Should we wear masks?
Yeah.
And it's like tons of conflict that came up as a result of that. But in Japan, there wasn't really any like, because society is based on like the group, right? And cooperating with each other. And so everyone just followed orders. And that made life in 2020 a lot smoother here than it was, at least seeming, over there.
But things were still like pretty locked down, right? Or was it more that things returned to normal quicker?
So things were pretty locked down, but people were doing it in like a very cooperative way, I would say, generally.
Less chaos.
Less chaotic, less arguing.
Yeah.
Do we need to do this? But the bad part came out a year or two after, right? Where like other countries started opening their borders way faster and going back to normal much, much faster, like a year or more faster than Japan. And Japan's border was still closed till a year ago now, October 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing like how this, like when the group works together really well, they also need to have a consensus for making a decision that slows down decisions. The slow decision means it falls behind. The rest of the world is making decisions quickly.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of also exposed to like the bad side of Japanese culture and how it can be harmful.
Mm.
Just as like a big scoped example.
Fair. I think Singaporean culture is also really different from so many other places.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like off the top of my head, I don't know many countries that have such a huge expat population. Maybe just like Singapore, Hong Kong.
It's UAE.
Yeah, UAE, like maybe Shanghai. I have no idea. But yeah, after living in Singapore for a few years, I feel like, okay, I don't want to like cultural appropriation or anything, but Singapore's surprisingly become a part of me. And I guess it shouldn't be to a surprise because I've stayed here for, I don't know, half my adult life. But I'm just like this walking encyclopedia of like Singaporean culture, and like things just like come to my mind all the time. And I also consume
brainwashed, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, brainwashed. And I consume like a decent amount of Singaporean media as well.
Okay, like on YouTube.
I listen to a few podcasts. It's pretty interesting. And then I don't know, like if I look into my future 5 years from now, am I still going to be listening to these like Singaporean podcasts and stuff
after you leave?
I don't know. Actually, I have no idea. We'll have to see. But it's at least in this moment, it's a surprising amount of me.
Yeah. Like you're surprised how much you integrated into the culture. Yeah, like you didn't just live in an expat bubble.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. Singlish is kind of fun to type and talk sometimes. It's like a Creole language, right? It's a mix of so many different dialects.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Can la.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when do you think we're gonna hear another episode of Far From Home? Actually, that reminds me, based on you moving back to Canada, you're officially banned from this podcast because you're no longer an Asian Canadian living far from home.
Oh no, we'll have to change the intro sequence. No,
no, we'll have to get rid of you.
Replace me with your wife.
Yeah, find another host who's my wife. Anything at this point. Yeah.
I mean, I think what will happen realistically on a timeline is set a move back date of December. So once, you know, everything's been kicked into motion, the boxes are getting packed, things are getting sold.
Yeah.
Probably have another episode to just
end things talk off.
About the final reflections.
Kill you off for real. Deathbed. Here lies Japanese Jason.
Sayonara.
Oh God.
I mean, there could be more episodes of what is life like back in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? I might be back here soon anyways.
Soon. I generally don't think I'll be in Singapore by the time if you come back.
Really? You think once you you think if I ever come back, it'd be when you're already gone?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I've been in Singapore for 4 years. I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay here. I mean, my wife just moved to Singapore, but max 5 years, we want to say. And even then,
that's... Like 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels really far away, but we've been really enjoying ourselves to the point where 5 years is just a good number to say. It's a great number to bullshit with. Like, how long are you gonna stay? I don't know, 5 years. Yeah, we'll see.
It is. Anywhere between like 3 to 5 is like a safe amount.
Yeah.
1 or 2, it's like, so soon.
Yeah. Are you really feeling safe?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think you'll be back in Japan within 5 years? It's so hard to say.
I have no clue, but I also feel like that's part of the fun of adventure and life. Mm. And sometimes not knowing is equally as, I don't know, fun in the long run.
Can't relate.
You like knowing?
I think I like knowing. I mean, a lot of things have been out of your control on like why you're moving back to Canada and stuff. But I'd like to know how things are going and like have a 5-year plan. Okay, I say that despite not knowing when I'm moving back to Canada, but I'm going to be in Singapore for at least another 2 years for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like pretty set on that happening.
These 2 years, not much, Alex. That's a low number.
It is. I mean, I'm starting to like, I kind of reset the counter of how long I've been in Singapore because of my wife now. Yeah.
It's like new life.
Yeah. 3-ish years in Singapore. Okay. It's a decent amount. I mean, it's enough to leave a huge impact on you and carry with you for life. I guess the big question is also like when I want to start a family. And that has a lot to do with when I'm going to move back to Canada, simply because most of my family is back in Canada.
I think what I've sort of figured out is like I'm being blessed by this experience. I've been able to realize that like I can make it whether I'm there or whether I'm here or in another country. And so there's those like directions that I want to put my life in, which might be like getting married or family, like you said, or buying a house or whatever. And I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I'm confident enough to know that no matter where I am in the world, that I have like the skill set and mindset that I can make that happen. So whether I end up staying in Canada or coming back here, it's like, I'm good now. Like, I can do it. I can do that.
Yeah. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Jason, you should try living in Singapore. it's pretty fun here. I'm still enjoying the tax breaks. Now my wife and I get to enjoy the tax breaks. It's great. I love it.
I would not be opposed for sure if it ever came up.
Yeah. We'll see if my favorite food spots are still around in however many years when you move here.
Again, wish I could be 25 forever.
Oh my gosh.
We'll live it all over again and move to Singapore and not worry about the future.
Yeah. Shall we leave it at that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I hope the listeners learned a bit about what's going on now. And we have no idea when. Actually, I guess we do know when the next episode's going to come out. Maybe right before you move back to Canada.
By end of year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a farewell.
And so... Yeah, maybe afterwards we'll have a, like, I don't know, a yearly check-in. Is Jason still alive? Did he get stabbed in Canada? Yeah. Listen and find out. Okay. Well, I guess we'll see everyone later.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.